Well, thank you very, very much, Rudy and Art and all of the organizers of Dysfunction this afternoon for inviting me. And thanks to all of you for giving me such a very warm reception and welcome with your welcoming applause. I'll take it any time I can take it, and if I can get it before the speech rather than in case I don't succeed after the speech, I want to say to you right now, thank you very much. Although perhaps this is something to do with British Columbia and Saskatchewan. Coming into this wonderful facility, I was struck by the number of people who said, hey, you know, I'm from Porcupine Plain in Saskatchewan, I'm from Weyburn, I remember the Regina Rough Riders, when, you know, and all of those things. So I kind of think that it's like coming back home, in a way, being here in Vancouver. When I was premier, I wish I could get half of the audience today back home to Saskatchewan, but nonetheless, you've made this a very, very pleasant welcome. And it's so heartening, and I must say, for me, an experience which I won't forget, to see such a large audience, crowd of people, concerned Canadians, in mid-afternoon Friday, the beginning of a long weekend, when people should be sort of enjoying themselves, the first long weekend of the summer, to come out because of a concern for Canada and a concern about major policy of Canada. And for that, you are all to be commended. Now, let me say, first of all, after that, to Rudy, I thank you very much for the introduction. I said to Rudy before he started with his introduction, I said, please, Rudy, keep it very, very short. I didn't tell him this, but my reason for asking him to keep it short is that in politics you get introduced a lot, and every introduction has a little bit of a distinctive twist to it, which comes as a bit of a surprise. Not that I had any doubts that Rudy's introduction would be perfectly bang on, but just in case. Let me tell you what I mean by that. It's an absolutely true story. When I was first elected to the Saskatchewan legislature in 1967, I was just a child MLA, by the way, I was asked to speak in a community just outside of Regina called Lumsden, Saskatchewan. Some of you may have heard of it. And in those days, we weren't politically correct. And this was a party function, and they had a wonderful meal, homemade, home-cooking meal. Big crowd of 300 or 400 people, a fraction of what we have here this afternoon, somebody in the old-time country fiddle, and this is what happened in the introduction, and this is the absolute truth. The chairman was a crusty old-time farmer who had seen, I guess, young politicians like me come and go a dime a dozen, and he got up and he said this. Remember, these aren't in the politically correct days. He said, well now, folks of Lumsden, first of all, he said, I want to thank the ladies. When you start the cooking, he said, you are the best cooks around this whole area. How about a big hand? Everybody gives a big hand. He says, and to you, Charlie, on the old-time country fiddle, for the entertainment. He said, when you get to playing the fiddle, you're the best player in all of these parts. Ladies and gentlemen of Lumsden, good food and good music. Now that all the good things are over, here's our guest speaker, Roy Romanoff. Well, I think I promptly proved him to be absolutely correct in the speech. But the one that really sticks in my mind the most, and this is in consequence of saying keep it short. So this one particular person said, okay, Roy, I'll keep it very short. He got up, he said, ladies and gentlemen, here's our guest speaker. I think he meant to say, ladies and gentlemen, here's our guest speaker, a person who needs no introduction. No, instead he said, here's Roy Roman, our guest speaker, a person who deserves no introduction. another kind of concern about. So therefore, Rudy, you'll know my somewhat mild anxiety about introductions. But it was very, very fine, and I'm very, very flattered by your kind words. Now, I'm going to say something which is very personal for a moment, if you'll permit me. Very, very personal. I can't see in the crowd, and I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up to embarrass them, but my wife, Eleanor,
has given me a firm mandate that when I come home tonight to Saskatoon after being on the road for the week public speaking, that I have to give her a report about something, and that is this. She believes, that a very close relative of hers, Mrs. Nancy Boykovich, and her daughter Sharon are in the audience. And if they are, just to embarrass you, Nancy and Sharon, from Eleanor and me, a very big hello, because I probably won't see you before the day runs out. Now I'm safe to go home. Safe to go home. Well, friends, I want to begin by picking up a bit on what Art Cuby talked about in the context of the role of seniors in this country and in British Columbia. And it proves to me this large turnout, again and again, what many of us have known for a long time. I've certainly known it. Namely, that our seniors remain vitally concerned and interested and connected about the important Canadian policies and programs which affect them, yes, but they're concerned more about their children and their children's children. They're concerned more about the future generations and themselves. They're concerned about the future well-being of this great country of ours, Canada, the country which we so proudly sang our national anthem. I know that health care is a particular concern, perhaps, to seniors, perhaps no more of a concern than it is to other people. I've traveled this country from coast to coast as Royal Commissioner and as Premier before that time as Royal Commissioner. I heard stories which were absolutely heartbreaking and indicated the concerns about the maintenance, the preservation, the enhancement of health care. Let me give you one example. This has nothing to do with age. A 37-year-old mother by the name of Hannah James Hodder came to me in St. John's, Newfoundland. And keep in mind that our meetings, when I was here in Vancouver, they start at 8:30 a.m. and didn't get finished until 8:30 p.m., 9 p.m. We worked straight throughout the piece. I was a one-man band, one-person Royal Commissioner. And Hannah James Hodder drove 100 miles or more from an outpost of Newfoundland to come to the Royal Commission hearings to tell her story. She was what we called an add-on. So many of the organizations were there, nurses and doctors and other interested groups. She was an individual citizen. And she started her presentation by saying that she was a 37-year-old mother of a young boy, 6-7 years of age, who had contracted cancer. And she started to fight back tears, understandably. I have to tell you that the moment I saw that, it was hard for me to hold back my tears. And she struggled through, voice quavering. She said, "Mr. Romano, we watched our son, 6-7 years of age, fighting courageously this battle of cancer, in hospital, strung up with tubes and all of the necessary support systems, but really not understanding why, suffering from huge pain, looked after lovingly by the nurses and all of the people in hospital, but still not understanding what was happening, and afraid. And we visited him and stayed and slept with him. And finally," she said, and again, voices cracking all the time and the pause of a tear or two, she said, "You know, we asked the hospital authorities, could we please take him home? And we did. And there he was, at home, with his brothers and sisters and with his mom and dad, and the pain was still there and getting worse, and he had a little bit of help, but at least he was, in all of his fear and agony, surrounded by his mother, his father, his family, and his immediate loved ones, so that when he died," she said, "he died with dignity. And my message to you, Mr. Commissioner, my plea to you is, make sure that your report has a provision that allows for palliative care care for us in our last final period of life, regardless of age. For a 7-year-old son, for an 87 or 97-year-old senior, make sure that we have this fundamental dignity accorded to us. I was so struck that in the midst of her grief and trying to overcome this particular challenge, this woman had the courage and the dedication to look beyond her own personal loss and suffering and to think about the well-being of all Canadians in advocating palliative care. She was concerned about building a better health care system in a narrow but a very important area, building a stronger and better Canada. She was able to rise to that occasion, my friends, and I tell you that is a source of inspiration, and you know what? Palliative care ended up, because of that, in the Romano recommendation as a reform to be implemented. I tell you that story because seniors, it is said by some, well, they have a greater concern about health care. Maybe that's so. But I don't think you're here for your own personal concerns or gains. You're here because of your children and your children's children. And you know, you're here also because, those of you who are seniors, you helped to build this country. In fact, you built this country. The challenges were very daunting. We're only 31, 32 million people, and we have huge distances to cover. We've got a climate to defeat. Well, maybe not in British Columbia, but certainly in Saskatchewan. We have, I say, 31 million people, a small population. We live next door to a powerful neighbor to the south with a different set of values and a different set of cultural beliefs. They are our neighbors nonetheless. And you know, many of us, some of our mothers and fathers even, came from all parts of the world. My mom and dad came from Ukraine with my sister. She was born over there. I was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I'm first generation. My mother and my father lived and died knowing only 150 words of English. In those days, they could shop and go to church and visit with their friends and neighbors without speaking either one of Canada's two official languages. And that's what I learned. That was my first language. And they came here in search of freedom, the opportunity to build a better place for their children and their children's children. And this is not a story about Mike Romano, my dad. It's a story about all of us in this country. We have come, all of us, most of us, from another place in this world, from various ethnic and cultural and linguistic backgrounds. We came here because we wanted to build a better life. And because we came from different backgrounds, we soon realized that we had to get along with each other. We had to get along with each other. And the way to do that was to practice the principle of cooperation, a practical vehicle cooperation, to help us overcome our obstacles, to learn from our friends and neighbors, and to attain our goals. Cooperation. Realizing that so often in any society, we can, by working together, achieve so much more to improve society than by working alone, as important as that lonely work might be. That's not to say that we don't cherish individuality, that we don't cherish individual civil rights, that we not encourage people to be the very best that they can be, to have personal growth and self-fulfillment. Of course we do. But unlike our neighbors and friends to the south, where the predominance is on individual self-interest, we in this country, thanks to the seniors and thanks to those who came from all over the world and were forced to cooperate to overcome climate and geography, we were able to combine our individual interests with community interests in a finely tuned balance of community and individual concerns. And in doing so, we have built what I still believe is the best country in the entire world. The best country in the entire world. We believe in intergenerational sharing. When we're younger, we look after our older folks. And when our children are younger, they look after us. We believe in interregional sharing, the have and the have-not provinces, cooperation. These are great values. These are great impulses. And that is why I believe you are here today, because you still share those impulses and those values. And all I can say to you, and I wish I could say to my dear mom and dad, both of whom now passed away, and I didn't when they were alive, but to say to you, thank you and God bless you for having had the guts, the determination, and the political will to build a civilized, decent, and democratic Canada by these values. Now you might think, how does this work with health care? I think it's a logical jumping off point to the specific issue which I want to address. Based on my Royal Commission report, as Rudy points out, building on values. That's what I've been talking about. And I want to talk about the report and the future of Canada's health care system. Medicare, which I think arguably may be our greatest accomplishment as Canadians in the field of social policy and public policy. It certainly identifies ourselves one to each other, and in some ways it identifies Canadians the rest of the world. I know a lot of people don't agree with me on that, but I hear that. I heard that as Royal Commissioner. Medicare, a program that has carried with it the values of fairness, of sharing, of cooperation that I've talked about, and compassion. Now it's 18 months since the Romano report was tabled. And one might ask, where do we stand? Well, I can tell you, in my judgment, simply stated, we stand at a fundamental crossroads. A choice will have to be made very soon by all Canadians about which road we take with respect to the issue of the future of Medicare, as we know it, as many of you in this room pioneered and worked so hard to establish. And the time for action is now. We've had studies galore, right up to here, still no reforms. We've had large amounts of cash transferred from one government level, Ottawa, to other governments. Still no reforms. We've had a Royal Commission's blueprint for change, with the support of an overwhelming number of Canadians. About 80% of all Canadians still support the Romano recommendations, and yet no reforms. We seem to have stalled. And I say that the time is over. The time is finished for those who call for yet more study and more reports. We know what we have to do to preserve and to protect and sustain our healthcare system. The time is now for action by the Canadians of British Columbia and Canada. But, as I see it, we seem to have stalled after all of these reports. You know, on my website, when I was Royal Commissioner, we had 31 million people enter into the website. 31 million, that's the size of Canada. Thousands of letters, hearings all over the country, boxes of information, independent studies, 43 independent studies. We looked at everything, user fees. We looked at a variety of issues, premiums. We looked at a variety of concerns, globalization. And we looked at the question of whether or not our program today of Medicare is still as relevant as it was way back then, 40 years ago. But we seem to have stalled. I'm not saying my report is perfect. I think it could have been improved with more time. But it does set out a blueprint for moving ahead. but we've stalled.